This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So Idris was telling us about the locust scenes and how even though there was a CGI element there, yeah, there were real locusts there.
What they had was like a guy who was a locust wrangler, who was sort of, he was an Australian guy, and he was in charge of all the wildlife that we had. So he had some locusts in a cage, which mostly didn't do what they were supposed to do. They obviously weren't sag members. So they sort of didn't, they didn't fly where they were supposed to and all that. And then we had plastic ones that were on us, which was sort of just so they could do that. And then they had this great guy who does all the CGI stuff who came in, and he sort of had a little bit of a computer graphic to show us what was going to happen. So that was amazing to me, just to see someone who was, so he had it there in his little laptop. So we knew what we were sort of jumping into, really. So yeah, it was quite weird, but it was easy to do in the end.
Was this your first big special effects movie?
No, I've done. I mean, I did a blue screen thing after this, actually, which was much more complex than this one. But no, I've done that before. It tends, most films now. I mean, Captain Corelli, we had quite a bit of effects. Huh. Basic Instinct, they had sets sort of stuff that weren't there on the day, but they put in later. So, but it was the first one I'd had to sort of react to stuff in the way that, like the locust stuff and all that, yeah.
Those weren't movies you would have thought of as special effects.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you see the special effects in movies like that, then they're probably not very good, but that's what they're disguising them all the time, really.
So I guess the fireball scenes were nothing practical?
Yeah, they had practical. It was hot. You know, those trees were on fire. You know, I mean, the lightning stuff, that's the stuff that they put on afterwards. But no, that is fire, and there's sort of this, the wind and the rain and all that. Yeah, that was 2 weeks of sort of, you know, pretty uncomfortable stuff, really. You know, you would be walking around the set with the fire, and somebody would jump on you and say, "Don't go over there." You know, it's like, you know, it's cordoned off areas all the time. You know.
So are you a supernatural guy, or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, it's sort of interesting with a genre film like this in the sense that, you know, you do dip into different genres. So I did watch quite a lot of stuff whilst I was doing this with that genre. But whether I'm a supernatural guy or not, I'm not sure. Whether I believe in it in my life, do you mean? I'm not sure about that. I sort of do feel that there's a, you know, being English and coming from that Shakespearean thing, there is that thing of there's more things in heaven and earth that are dreamt of in your philosophy. And I do think that, you know, I do think that there's a lot out there that's unexplained, and, you know, that's quite an interesting place, really. But I don't dabble in it as much. I don't dabble in it. That's why, you know, I don't go to those places. But I'm open to offers.
Talk about working in the pillory.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pleasure. I mean, I got to Louisiana and we met up, and I hadn't met her beforehand. We'd never sort of got paths, haven't crossed. And it was a real pleasure in the sense that, you know, she's a great actress. So it was all about character, it was all about story. And we were able to sort of talk about the relationships going through. And there was never an area where you felt that you couldn't be collaborative with her at all. It was wonderful to just on a day-to-day basis. And with Stephen Hopkins as well, I think. Him, Hilary, Idris, and myself, it's very much, even though it doesn't, you know, immediately strike you as an actor's piece, it was very much an actor's piece. It was a character-driven piece. It was something that we talked about endlessly, about what our characters would be feeling and what our backstory was and stuff like that, our relationships with each other. And that, for me in a film like this, to be able to talk about character, to move forward with character, was great. And it was, you know, she was a big part of that. You know, she led from the front in that way, as you would expect, really, seeing her work in the past, you know. But she's a marvellous actor. I really had such a pull with her. And she's really funny. I mean, one of the things about working on a film like this is because all the material is sort of, you know, very dark and very sort of troubling. Offset, you know, it was like we were just having a ball. It was like we were sort of exorcising all the bad stuff as we were going to work on a daily basis. But, you know, offset, we were just having a great time. It was really very, very funny. What we would do is we would stick to the script, but we would sort of, in order to get into it, I would sort of, you know, particularly with Idris sometimes, we would sort of mess about off camera and sort of get into the story, not mess about in a silly way, but sort of talk about where we were and what the characters would be experiencing. So there was a bit of getting into character with stuff like that. But then there was so immediate. I mean, you know, the scene where all those kids get their hair shaved off. I mean, that, you know, those kids were getting their hair shaved off. So there was a sense that you just had to walk into that room to find out what it was going to be like. You know, there was kids crying their eyes out. There was parents saying, it's all right. You know, there was kids, they'd all agree to have it done, but it's one thing agreeing to have it done and then having a buzz cut around you when you're a 12-year-old girl. You know, sort of not, how am I going to go to school? And the only good thing was that all their friends were getting it done as well, so it was okay, you know, you weren't going to stand out. But that created a great atmosphere in the room. You know, you'd walk in and you'd feel this tension. And we filmed it all down there, you know what I mean? So that's where you got a lot of the atmosphere from, was the sets that you were walking around. And that was quite a magical experience for me, really. It really fed into this. You know, we weren't in a studio in LA or wherever. You know, we were right down there doing the film that was set there, and that was important. Yeah.
What did you do to enjoy your time in the South?
I ate a lot. I ate a lot. We went out a lot. It's a very hospitable place, so it's, I don't know whether you know it down there, but, you know, I found people very friendly. I'm from the north of England, which is a tough but friendly place, and it was quite similar to that, apart from the heat and the distance to the set every morning, which was quite a ride. But it was, and also we were there at a difficult time, you know, for them. It was, and although we all know about the debacle that happened afterwards, the FEMA thing, on the ground for us, there was a great sense of solidarity amongst people, of helping each other, you know, and we were in Baton Rouge, which hadn't been physically affected by the hurricane, but the refugee crisis was happening there. And I did find that there was a real bonding solidarity thing around people who were helping each other in crisis. And when I watched the news, that didn't seem to be coming across, because it seemed like nobody was helping anybody. But certainly that might have been true in New Orleans, but in Baton Rouge I felt there was a great community thing happening, which was, you know, people were opening up their rooms and their houses for people in crisis. And you know, our crew and some of our cast, they lost their homes and stuff. So it was quite a sobering time, really. But also I was massively impressed by the solidarity and the sort of community spirit of it all.
You're in a film coming up called The Water Horse.
I am?
Actually, you're in a few films coming up. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah, the film The Water Horse is a film about the Loch Ness Monster. It's all set in the Second World War. It's about a little boy who discovers the Loch Ness Monster. But also, it's about him. His father has gone missing in the Second World War, and he isn't coming back. So the film is really about a little boy learning to let go, let something he loves go. And it's directed by Jay Russell.
And this is the one with all the blue screen?
Yeah. And we did it down in Weta in New Zealand, in, where they did Kong and Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. So it was a bit, it's where there's a lot of geeky guys down there making little models, you know, and sort of it's Warhammer heaven, really, you know. But yeah, it's a great operation down there. So I did that. I did a movie called The Other Berlingo with Eric Banner and Scarlett Johansson, Natalie Portman, all about Henry VIII and his relationship with Anne Boleyn and her sister Mary Boleyn, which is based on a book of the same name by Philip Gregory, which was a real blast. It was a great, and that's made by the same people who made The Elizabeth with Cate Blanchett. So,
do you play in that?
I play Norfolk in The Other Berlingo, and Norfolk was Anne Boleyn's uncle. He wasn't a great uncle to have, to be honest. He was also Catherine Howard's uncle, and she lost her head as well. So if you were his niece, you were probably a little bit nervous. He was an operator. He was very much the sort of the Cheney figure in the Henry VIII sort of court, really. But he was he lived till he was 81, which in that time is like 150 today. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like he had a microbiotic diet or anything, you know, and central heating. This guy sort of, so he was a hardy guy. So that was interesting to play him. Very good. My cod piece wasn't as big as Eric Banner's, though, which I was really annoyed about. But, you know, if he's Henry VIII, he's Henry VIII. You know, I can't do anything about that. But, yeah, no, so that and that's coming out next year, early next year.
Can you talk about did you work with Scarlett?
Yeah, I've worked with Scarlett before, actually. Yeah, no, and both of them. We got on great. We got they're very committed people, very committed actresses, both perfectly cast as well, I think, as those sisters. And Natalie and her, it was a pleasure to work with both of them. They're very, really hard-working girls, I think. And as is Eric. He can ride a horse as well, which is really, you know, when you're doing a lot of horse riding and you think, but this guy's Australian, you know, he's born on a horse, so that was really annoying. That and his codpiece.
What character do you play in The Water Horse?
In The Water Horse, I play a guy called Captain Hamilton, who's part of the British Army, and there was a very real danger in the Second World War that the Nazis would come into England via the locks and lakes through Scotland, the North Sea. And he's sent up there to patrol those channels and to make sure that there isn't an invasion up there. And while he's up there, he falls in love with the little girl's mum and the little boy's mum, and that causes trouble.
Is the Loch Ness Monster a big part of the film? Or?
Yeah. In every sense of the word, as you might know. Yeah, I haven't seen the monster. No, all I saw is the monster was a guy, and a very big guy in a very short Lord of the Rings t-shirt with a scaffolding pole and a tennis ball at the end. Which, you know, I was 3 years at RADA, but that's a hell of an acting trip for me. So I had to get rid of him in the end. I mean, that's what CGI is, you know. It's sort of a crazy, crazy place. It's sort of like, I don't know whether you're familiar with the TV series The Prisoner, but it was like being in this crazy world, you know. Twin Peaks, like this man wobbling around, sort of going,
What surprised you the most about working with all that blue screen and also with the web? I mean, just the company and the effects? And
I think what surprised me about it was how technology has moved on. I mean, what they can do is unbelievable. So, you know, you would be in a place where you weren't aware of anything around you at all. You had your costume on, you were in this place that was slightly freaky. And then you'd see it played back on the monitor, and this whole world was behind you and in front of you. And that's really wild. So it took me a while to get part of that. The pace is different. Like on The Reaping, what we would do is, you know, it was a fast-paced movie. We'd hit the floor running. There was lots to do in the day. It was character-driven. It was, you know, storytelling. But on blue screen, you tend to do like an eighth of a page in a day. You know, it's like because they have to get it so, it's like a computer game for them. And that, you know, you can go somewhere else in your head during those days, which is quite weird. But it's no less enjoyable. It's just a different craft, really, for me. And a really great friend of mine is Andy Serkis. Now, Andy is CGI king, you know. People have conferences about Andy, you know. And so I phoned him up and I went, what's it like? And he just went, what are you dressed in? I said, I'm dressed in my costume. You know, I am the character. He said, you haven't got any worries at all. He said, I was dressed in a body stocking for 6 months, you know. So there's different degrees of the pain you can go through, and I think Andy has paid his dues in that genre.
Was there any talk of getting Andy to play the Loch Ness Monster?
No, maybe he would have done. They auditioned him, I think, but he was fucking his scales. He played for scale. No, I don't know why it was, but he was. They already had a monster.
Was there a different feel on this movie once you guys came back from the break?
Yes, of course there was. I mean, you know, there was a whole break about whether we were coming back at all. You know, there was a sense of that for a day or two. And then everything was geared about coming back. It was really, there was nothing going to stop us really coming back. We had to rejig the schedule, of course, and stuff. But once we got back to Louisiana, it was, everybody was working towards the movie, and it was brilliant to see. And it did give you a sense, you know, that what we were doing in the job was we were really sort of forging ahead and bringing, you know, making sure that what we'd started we were going to finish. And that was a great feeling of solidarity amongst all of us, really. There was a lot of people from Louisiana working on this film, so it was important to get it back up and running, really. But it was a work commitment thing, you know. But it was, you know, and I saw it last night, and it's interesting sort of jumping out of my skin watching myself, but it sort of did do that, you know. And there was a girl next to me who was really, really had her head in her hands, and she was fine. And I usually, you know, in any screening, lean over and say, "You all right?" But I didn't think last night was a good place for me to do that. She probably send it over the edge slightly, you know. "Excuse me, you all right?" "Ah, my God! You've just jumped into a swamp." So there was all that, right? But yeah, people did jump, which I guess is the prerequisite for a film like this. I mean, what I like about this film also is the fact that it has a thriller element to it as well as the horror thing. You know, it just it is a whodunit and why they did it and stuff like that. So that was always good for me.
So what do you have possibly coming up that is not in the present?
I don't know. There's I have a TV thing for Showtime called Meadowlands, which is coming up. And that's a TV series that we made in Britain. And it's all about a family who get relocated to a new town. And you realize that they and everybody else in this town are on the witness protection program. And no one knows who everybody is. Everybody has reinvented themselves. You don't know if the guy you're talking to is a multiple murderer or whether he's just someone who was a whistleblower in a big company or something like that.
This is an American show that's been made in Britain?
No, it's a British show made in Britain, set in Britain, but okay. Showtime, it's coming out here first. It's a co-production.
Did you say witness protection program? Is that what they call it in Britain?
Yes, they do, it's the same thing. But it's set in Britain, but it's a co-venture between Channel 4 and Showtime here. So that comes out. And I'm just about to do a TV movie of Sense and Sensibility. Hence my, I'm not karaoke Elvis at the moment. This is for my Austin sideburns. And I start that on Tuesday.
What episodes is the Showtime series?
The Showtime's 8. I'm not sure yet. It's 8 o'clock. It's 8 episodes, but I don't know when it's playing, but it's sort of May, June.
No, I was wondering what character you played.
Oh, in the Showtime. I play the main guy who is the head of the family that comes in, and he's the guy who obviously has done something in his past that has got his family there, and his family are only there because he's got something wrong, so he's full of guilt. And he has to sort of make a way for his family in this crazy world that he's brought them to. And he does it with various degrees of failure. But he does, you know, they have to. They ain't going anywhere else. This is their last place that they have to be. And that, of course, puts all sorts of pressure on them, really.
Does that kind of community really exist where they would put all those people?
I can't tell you. I'd have to kill you. The only thing, I'd like to tell you that, but it would be against the Geneva Convention.